Welcome to Chili's Trans Tuesdays. Today's topic is a very real problem trans women have to deal with. Cis folks, especially cis men, especially white men, especially heterosexual men, super especially cishet white men. Please pay attention. Here comes Chasers and the Fetishization of Trans Women 1, explanation and examples. Hi, I'm Tilly Bridges, your host, and I'm joined by my writing partner, my best friend, my wife, our token cis representation, the only person I actually want to chase me, Susan Bridges.
Hello. I don't do a lot of chasing.
You could do a little more.
I gotta hurry it up. I'm more of a walking.
Well, you could chase, walk, chase, whatever.
Just go a little faster.
Sure.
Speed it up.
I'll let you catch me, don't worry. Our guest this week is Boone Williams, a transgender actor, comedian, and writer. She's best known for voicing the transgender character Astrid on the Netflix animated series The Dragon Prince. Welcome, Boone.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Thank you for joining us. It was brave of you to come on to talk about this topic.
Hey, it's an important thing to talk about, and I'm happy to be candid about it.
Great. Excellent. Hooray. But before we get into that, I wanted to ask you what it was that drew you to acting and voice acting specifically.
Oh, sure. Yeah. My dad's an actor, so I grew up around that. I had been on set a few times with him, not working, but just, you know, being around, eating pizza, eating the craft services while he's doing his job. And so it's very normalized to me growing up. It wasn't like a mystical thing of like, ooh, Hollywood and acting.
Yeah.
But he didn't want me to be an actor. I was always interested in creative stuff as a kid. I remember when I was 5, I discovered the video camera and I fell in love with making movies. My first movie was called Selling Ice Cream and it was 5 minutes long. And that's Selling with an apostrophe, no G.
Of course.
And it was basically a direct lift of a SpongeBob SquarePants episode called Chocolate with Nuts, where they sell chocolate bars door to door. And this one, my brothers sold ice cream door to door. And I played one of the characters, but mostly I was behind the camera and I loved it. And I thought I was going to make movies when I was older. I thought I was going to be like a screenwriter or director or whatever. And fast forward to now, I'm trying to do more of that. But I was always into being the center of attention, I think. I'm the youngest of 4, and I love people looking at me, and I loved performing. I love making people laugh. I love telling stories. I love creating stories and being a part of them. And I remember at some point as a young person, probably like a teenager, telling my dad, I want to be an actor. And what could I do? What's your advice? And his advice was, don't do it, which is fair. I get it now as an adult. Yes.
Yeah.
Listen, as someone who is trying to make it work here in Hollywood now, totally get it. But, you know, as one does, I went against what my father said. And eventually he came around and he's been a big cheerleader of mine. But then I remember as a 12-year-old, like getting really, I would watch these interviews of people who did cartoons and all these actors who would play like these iconic cartoon characters. And there was something about them that really inspired me. And it was, I mean, I loved cartoons, but it was more about the way they presented themselves and how they weren't celebrities, but they had this tremendous talent and were just so like childlike and playful and interesting and funny, and came into this industry in all these different ways. And I was like, I want to do that. I want to do cartoons. And so then I got a little bit older and I started taking acting classes, and I started with an on-camera agent, and then I got a voiceover agent, and then I did a lot of improv, and then I got into stand-up. And so it was sort of like this really all over the place journey that was very unstructured. But I guess to make this succinct after being very not succinct and all over the place, it was something I always loved performing and I always loved creating. And I was like, this is how I want to make money.
I love that. But also, like, is this a thing that you've noticed, like, in the recent years, especially, there used to be like career voice actors and they would be in so many shows and animated movies. And then it like there was this flip. I think it sort of happened with Aladdin in the 90s with Robin Williams and his amazing performance as Genie. But like after that, it became like the cool thing to cast screen actors as voice actors. And it feels like it's harder for voice actors to get work now because so many of the like big name screen actors that you see in live action stuff are taking those roles.
100%. 100%. Even when I decided I wanted to do cartoons for a living when I was 12.
Yeah.
It was different. It was a totally different ballgame. I'm 24 now, so this is 12 years ago. And I remember back then, it was still, there were still these working actors who were doing all the cartoons. Yeah. There was the cartoon people, and they'd go to the same people every time for every new show. And you'd see, like, occasionally a celebrity would pop in. Disney would pay however much money to some celebrity to be in their cartoon or whatever. But overall, it was like, that was a legit, I mean, it was very hard to get into, but it was a legitimate career ambition. And nowadays, like if you're looking, if you're watching like a Fox show or an adult series on Amazon, it's a lot of stand-up comics that they're casting. Yeah. And then obviously, since the dawn of time, well, since Aladdin, I guess, like you just said, it's been they've been getting celebrities in the major motion pictures that are animated. And but now, just in the average, like even in the average, like Nick Disney show or the streaming show, it is a lot of celebrities. Sometimes they're movie stars. Sometimes they're comedians.
Yeah.
But I think it's much, much, much harder, nearly impossible, I would say, to break in just as a voiceover actor. My friends who do voiceover full time are not doing prelay traditional American animation. They're doing video games and they're doing anime. They're dubbing. And so, like, I mean, occasionally they might get a guest star spot on a Nick show or whatever, but that's not what's paying their rent. Even the people who I look up to, who I was inspired by to get into this, some of whom have become dear friends, they're living off of residuals a lot of the time. Yeah. Like they'll work, you know, they still work, but it's not the same where they're on three shows a week, you know, playing every character on Cartoon Network. It's like occasionally they'll get this and occasionally get that, but it's their Rugrats residuals or whatever that's kind of that pays for their house.
Yeah.
And their kids' dental work or whatever. So it's different. But luckily for me, there is so much else that interests me. And luckily, I fell in love with stand up. And I've done improv since I was a kid. And I've always loved writing. And I love doing on camera stuff, too. So it's kind of been this weird, like it started with a more general approach. And then I was like hyper fixated on animation, and then I've kind of gone back to being, well, there's a lot of other stuff I want to do, and maybe it'll lead to more animation in the future, but right now I'm just trying to like be a creative and have fun and see where it goes.
Yeah, that's kind of what we have to do. We work in like so many mediums because there's not enough work in any one of them, so you just have to do all of it, right? You just go wherever you can find a spot to make something and get it in front of people.
I definitely tell people, don't do it.
Yeah.
If you can do anything else, do that, because this is a rough life.
And don't be a writing partnership.
Okay, well, we're not going to get into that. How we undercut our own pay.
Don't do it.
Okay. Let's move on.
There we go.
For you, what has been the best thing about transitioning?
Yeah, that's such a good question. I've always said to people that I think having to transition publicly, and I don't even mean like I'm not a celebrity, I'm not famous, I just mean, well, there's two things. One is that it was public in the sense that I've been on social media since I was a teenager, and that's when I started transitioning. So it was, even though I didn't have a large following, it was public. And then I actually started when I was 16, which was when I got on estrogen. I started making videos on YouTube about my experiences being a transgender lesbian. And I think that for my first video, which I made now, it would have been in September, I think it'll be 8 years old. I still get comments on that. And it's got like 50,000 views or something, which for me is like, whoa, because I'm not a social media person. Yeah, yeah. I'm not good at that. I wish I were, but I'm not. So to me, that's like crazy. It makes me feel like George Clooney or something. So I think that, but whether it's public in the sense of being on YouTube or it's public in the sense of just the people you grew up around watching you transition, to go through that is one of the most vulnerable things I think a person can do. You just feel completely naked, and
Yeah.
it's incredibly challenging that I think because I was able to do that, I have very, very little inhibition in my life now. Like I don't really care what people think about me at all. Like I
Yeah.
remember as a kid before transitioning, having an awkward exchange with someone, saying something that I thought was silly, or like being like, "Oh, what? Why did I say that? Or why didn't I
Yeah.
say that? Or what?" Just something that was very trivial that at the time felt like the end of the world, and I would think about it for days. And now, on a daily basis, I say stupid stuff all the time, and I just don't. I'm like, I don't have time to care. Like, I've
Yeah.
been embarrassed so much in my life. I've made so many mistakes. And I have like I just y you're kind of I, desensitized feels like a depressing word to use because it feels like beaten down and but I don't know, I don't look at it that way. I feel like I've just gone through so much and had to be so open whether I wanted to or not that it's forced me to first of all get to know myself really well, which I think has translated well into art and comedy. Like all my stand-up is
Yeah.
about being trans pretty much. And then also just realizing that like it's the old sticks and stones, you know? Like I know who I am. I've been forced to get to know myself very well, and you can say
Yeah.
whatever you want, and I can make a fool of myself, and at the end of the day, I don't care. I've got people in my life that love me, luckily, and that's all that matters.
Yeah, I love that. I feel very much the same way. Like if I did the tiniest thing that I felt was embarrassing pre-transition, I was mortified and I'm like, don't perceive me. I'm so embarrassed. I don't know how to be a human. And now I don't care. I don't
Yeah.
care. I will do the most ridiculous things and never feel embarrassed. I'm like, I don't care. I'm so happy with
Yes.
who I am. It makes no difference to me. So.
I agree, and I feel like you could probably relate as an artist and a writer that translates really well into creating
Oh,
because
yeah.
I mean, we're all so critical of ourselves, but I think that if you can be that vulnerable in your personal life, it helps open up a whole well of things that might be filtered
Oh
otherwise.
yeah, my writing got so much better
Yeah.
afterwards. So yeah,
Yeah.
totally. Okay, so then on the flip side of that, what has been the worst or maybe most difficult part of transition for you?
Yeah. So many things. But if I could narrow it down and distill it into one thing, I think it's the constant, something I've had to accept, and it took me years to accept this, is I will really never know. Even the people who are very vocally accepting and supportive, I will never know if they actually see me as a woman. Because there's no way to. I can't read minds. And sure, I like the people I love and that are closest to me, I believe them, of course, and they treat me like the person that I am and the woman that I am. But I will never, there may be a part of them that still has like, well, she's a trans woman. I knew her before or whatever. Like I
Yeah.
have to really accept that I will never be able to control how other people perceive me. And
Yeah.
all I can do is control, I guess, how I perceive myself. And
Absolutely.
it's really more about what I do and how I act as a human being than anything else. And that's kind of the only thing that matters. But that's a hard thing to accept because, you know, I've spent so much of my life wishing, well, A, that I'm cisgender, but also B, that like I had just come out a little sooner. Because I'm very lucky. I never got facial hair. There's a lot of stuff I got to avoid. I came
Yeah.
out in the middle of puberty. So like it's funny because some people like I've tried to do a male voice for my acting career. Like sometimes my agents will send me things where they're like, "Can you do this?" But I'm like, I can't do a grounded 40-year-old man because I started transitioning when I was 15. So I
Yeah.
sound like a 15-year-old awkward teen. But the I guess what but the point is like I did I have an Adam's apple. There are little things like my voice lowered. I spent a good 4 years working on my voice before I decided I was comfortable with it enough to like feel like I don't care.
Yeah, it took me three, so
It
relatable.
takes a long time, and
Yeah.
not a lot of people realize that. Like a lot of people who don't know better, you know, think that estrogen changes your voice, and it doesn't. It
If
doesn't.
only.
If only. No,
If only.
testosterone is the only hormone that changes your voice, and
Yeah.
once your body has been exposed to it, it's It's not entirely irreversible because there's things you can do with your muscles that changes how the sound comes out, which is what we do when we train it. But the physiological effects of the size of it and everything is irreversible. And there's surgery, but those are there's risk and all kinds of issues and money, and it doesn't fix everything. So and also a lot of it is learned. So I don't even know where I was going with this. I guess the point is I spent a lot of time wishing like, oh, if only, if only, if only, if only. But I've also learned that everyone thinks that, even whether you're trans or not, if only this, if only that. And you're like, well, if I weren't this, like, I don't know. Some of the closest connections I've made in my life, some of the people that matter to me the most, I've connected with because I'm trans and because I transitioned at the time that I did and because my voice is the way that it is. And it's like, it's also. It's actually, honestly, I don't think I would have a career if I weren't trans. Or if I did, it would come at a different time and it would be different. But the one that I have and the people that I've met because of it has I'm very grateful for. So I have to have a kind of bit of an ooh, like everything happens for a reason kind of attitude.
Exactly. Like it happens when it happens, and we can look back and wish we had realized earlier or transitioned earlier. But like for me, and it's like just like you were saying, it would have changed everything about my life, and there's so much about it that I love. I might never have met Susan. We might have never had our kid, who I, and I love him so much. So it's like you can fall into that if only trap, and it's so sometimes it's best to just not let yourself go down there.
Yes, 100%.
Okay, before we get into this week's topic, do you want to let folks know where they can find you online after listening?
Absolutely. I do all the major social medias at Boone W. Williams, BoneWWillialLiams. I post silly stuff on Instagram and TikTok the most, mostly Instagram. I am on Twitter. I will never call it X.
You're
And
still there?
I'm
Oh, that
still
must
there.
be a nightmare.
It's well, I never go on it. I actually never ever go. The only reason, honestly, at this point, it feels like there's very little reason to be on it. I kept on there because I got my first job off of Twitter. A casting director direct messaged me on there, and that's how I got my first job.
I
And
got,
then
yeah, we got a lot
when,
of gigs from there too,
yeah,
back
if
in the day.
people do, it's not as much of a thing anymore. But also when the Dragon Prince was still coming out, it was like huge. It was a huge fan base on there. It's very, very active. So I never use it, but if for some reason you want to follow me on there, go for it. Instagram is the best place to find me. And then if you like silly little videos, you can go on my TikTok.
They're good little videos.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, so this is a serious and really important topic, but before we get into it, I have a warning for you. In order for you to truly understand what we trans women go through, I am going to show you what it is like for us every day, everywhere we go, no matter what we do, especially online, but it can happen in person too. A bit less so, though, because the perpetrators don't want to out themselves as attracted to trans women, because heaven forbid. So I'm splitting this into two episodes because to accurately hit you with the reality of this, you need to experience the flood of it, which makes this installment rather long. So this week we're going to talk about what chasers are and what they do. And next week we're going to talk about the origin of the entire chaser movement and how people react when you call chasers out. There will be many horrible, uncomfortable, and sometimes explicit things discussed. I'll be talking about them in a purely non-explicit way, but I'm not going to really censor the examples themselves beyond hiding some of the screen names for reasons I will explain later. So this is your official and only warning. Mountains of horribleness follow. And it's important for you to get a taste of what it is that we go through. So a chaser is someone almost universally cis men, almost universally white, who fetishizes trans women. They flood our DMs and follow us around the internet and generally hound us as objects of desire while simultaneously not seeing us as people, human beings, or supporting trans rights. Quite the opposite, in fact. They are often gigantic transphobes. But before we go further, let me make this clear. I am sex positive, and there is nothing wrong with anyone being attracted to trans women. You should be. We are awesome. I also support sex workers who are adults and who choose that line of work for themselves where everything is consensual. But there is a very real issue for trans women where many feel forced into sex work because it is one of the only ways our society has said it's okay for trans women to exist. Listen to the 2022 U.S. Trans Survey Results Parts 1 and 2 in Episodes 69 and 70, and the 2022 U.S. Trans Survey Results Parts 3 and 4 in Episodes 123 and 124. to see exactly how many trans people lose homes and jobs after coming out, how many of us live beneath the poverty line, so many, and how many of us have been unhoused, 30%. With transphobic laws somehow at a new all-time high every year, with discrimination against us legalized in ever more horrible ways, for many trans women, sex work is all that's left open to them to survive. And nobody should be forced into sex work for any reason, much less just to be able to eat. My point is that this is not meant to be a discussion on the merits or drawbacks of porn or sex work. This is about how trans women are routinely fetishized and so many feel forced to lean into that fetishization. Feeling forced into sex work as the only way to survive and be quote-unquote accepted by a certain awful part of society, and what that does to a person and how it can only ever be a temporary solution at best because the patriarchy values youth over age and many will invariably age out of being able to support themselves via sex work, is examined in stunning depth in the Matrix films. Yes, really, it is what the Merovingian is all about. See my book, Begin Transmission, The Trans Allegories of the Matrix, for more, link in the show notes. I personally know trans ladies who have felt forced into sex work because they had no other option. It is the one thing a very bad portion of our society has decided it's okay for us to do, exist as nothing more than sex objects for cis white men. We are routinely one of the biggest and most popular porn categories. It's getting marginally better in some places with them actually calling us trans women, but in many we're not even that. We are quote-unquote she-males, or quote-unquote dick girls, or quote-unquote chicks with dicks, or quote-unquote girly boys, and there are so many terms they call us, anything other than trans women, that I've not even listed here. It is remarkable the lengths that have been gone to in order to dehumanize us as nothing more than sex objects based on our genitalia and gender. And that's extremely extra harmful when you realize that a lot of trans women, it is that very external genitalia that is the biggest source of their gender dysphoria. Can you imagine being valued only for the part of your body that you hate the most? Some of the terms are actually even more harmful on their own. Trans ladies, who can pass as cis, check out episode 34 of this show on misgendering and passing, are sometimes called quote-unquote traps. As in, you think they're a cis woman and then when they get naked, they're not. It's a trap! The trans women are tricksters and deceivers trope still pops up in our media a lot, sadly, and is still perpetuating this horrible nonsense. Listen to the 2025 Trans Rep in Media Report Parts 1 through 4 in episodes 144 to 147 of this show for a particularly egregious example of that from season 2 of Poker Face. This all furthers the painting of us as deceptive manipulators and possible sex offenders and increases the danger and violence we face. But who cares as long as cis white dudes who fetishize us can get their rocks off, right? So let's talk about what it's like being a trans woman on the internet. We're not even going to talk about the bigotry we have to deal with on top of all this right now, although we will next week for reasons you may be surprised to learn. Before I dive into my experience with chasers, I wanted to ask what it's been like for you, Boone. Do they hound you all over the place?
Yeah, but it's interesting.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No. It is. I do find it funny at this point, honestly. I mean, I do. It's something that, like, all I do is find the humor in all this chaos at this point and make
you kind of have to.
You have to. And I think this is a slight tangent, but I think one of the most empowering things for me about the negative aspects of being trans is being able to take very real situations that I go through and put it on stage as a comic and highlight the absurdity of it and make people laugh. People who otherwise, some of them I actually believe might be transphobic, and they don't even necessarily realize in that moment that they're agreeing with me as they laugh about it, because I feel like something I try to do is put it out there in such a way where it's funny to anyone, no matter your experience with trans people, even if it's no experience at all, because you understand how it's just an absurd concept.
Yeah.
And there's inherent shock value to it because it's shocking what we go through. But
it is.
Yeah, it's interesting now because, you know, like, I think pretty much any woman on TikTok will get, like, constant direct messages from bots and real people, real men, saying, you know, just gross things.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to me now because I don't, like, most of my videos are about being trans a lot, but there's also several of them that are not. So I don't always know if these things are directly related to, like, if they're chasers or not. But certainly I would say a good portion, probably the vast majority of them are. So there's that, which I've just become very used to, and I just delete those messages and I don't care. But I was thinking about how this was our topic, and I will say the my first experience with a chaser, I was 15, and it was so shocking to me because I was innocent and naive and young, and I hadn't even started estrogen yet. I had just started dressing differently. I think I'd maybe been on, I had a hormone blocker first for like 6 months before I started. So I was on a, I had an implant in my arm and I was growing my hair out. And I don't even know if I was doing makeup, but I was just in the very beginning stages. And I used to play competitive Super Smash Bros. Melee. And that was a big part of my life as a teenager.
Amazing.
It was a lot of fun.
Wow.
I was took it very seriously and I would go and win money every weekend. And it was part of this big community. And there was this guy, and I will not name him, but he was twice my age. He was probably 30 at the time. And I looked up to him. He was one of like the top ranked players, and he was just funny, and and I would see him at tournaments all the time. And then one time I got a Facebook direct message from him that said, I don't remember what it started with, but he said something about the ladyboy thing was a huge turn on for me. And it was this, and I was like, I didn't even know how to react. Like, again, I was young, this concept. I knew
You
that
were
these,
15.
I
That's,
was
oh my
15,
God.
yeah. And I knew that these kind of people were out there to some extent. But I certainly had never experienced it firsthand, and it only existed as a very vague concept in my mind. And it was like, I was just like, wow. And now as an adult, I realized that there's, unfortunately, so many children of all genders and all experiences that go through some form of, inappropriate sexual behavior with adults. And like many of them, I didn't tell anyone about it because I'm like, I don't know what to do here. This is so weird. And I don't really remember what I did. Like, I don't remember. I remember seeing him in person for the first time after that. And we certainly didn't talk about it. But I was just like, I think about that now sometimes as an adult, almost 10 years later. And I'm like, that's crazy that this, we just all have to go through that. And I'm lucky enough that if I wanted to, I could have talked to my parents about it, and they would have been they would well they probably would want to kill this guy, but like they're the right people to talk to about it, and so many people don't have that. So I'm very fortunate, but it's just wild to me to think that I was just one of many children that have to go through that. And then as an adult, I have the skills to handle it. I understand it more. I understand the psychology of it more. I'm just feel a lot safer, and like I have the autonomy and the ability to navigate these kinds of things. But the fact that it started for the first time as a kid, it's just like, it's crazy that we have to go through that.
It is. We shouldn't have to. The week that I publicly came out as trans, the chasers found me and the DM flood started.
It's
They waste
crazy.
no time. Do they seek out newly out trans ladies thinking we're not numb to it already, or that we're more vulnerable to anyone suddenly using our correct pronouns? You bet they do. It does not matter what we post or where we post it. If we exist anywhere online, the chasers will find us and make themselves known. They hound me in the Scrabble app, or I try to go for some downtime, but I can't even escape them there. I got three messages in a row from the same guy that read, "Hello, you look so beautiful. Hello. Hello, you look so beautiful." For a while, I tried seeing what would happen if I pretended to be a bot, and you can see how even that didn't deter them. They can't stop because maybe I'm not a bot and I am a trans woman that they could harass. So a chaser messages me, "How are you doing today?" And my reply was, "Bravo Blue, reply 0117 slash 1001011. And he said, "Where are you chatting from?" And that continued. He didn't stop. These may look innocent to you, but babes, we are only getting started. I know those guys are chasers because I know chaser behavior because I cannot ever escape it. I have years of experience to drown in. Please keep listening. I will now give you a window into what my DMs, replies, and mentions across social media look like. Most examples will be from Instagram because the user base there is particularly awful and they have some of the worst controls to moderate your experience. But know that it truly happens everywhere. I mean, they do it in the Scrabble app. So I have blocked some of these usernames and handles, but left some others. And again, I will discuss why that is later on. What you're about to see is like 1% of what I get every single time I post a selfie, which I'm not going to stop doing just to stop the chasers. And you can learn about why selfies are actually important for trans people by listening to episodes 91 to 92 of this podcast on photos and reflections and photos to the selfie apocalypse. So anytime I post a photo of myself, no matter what it is, or what I am doing in the photo, or the clothes I am wearing, The next time I log into my notifications look like this. All of these accounts are strangers. How are you, cute girl? 5 kiss emoji, 1 tongue emoji. Kissable and effable, only he didn't say F. He said the word that that stands for that I'm not saying so the show doesn't get an explicit tag. Hey, how's you? Heart eye emoji. Hey. Hi. 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 Hello, sunshine. How are you doing, honey? Hello. Hello, beautiful lady. Good morning. Hello. Hi. Hello. Hey, I'm a submissive bottom boy. Hello, pretty lady. How are you doing? And then, multiple times a week, I will log on and discover chasers who have found my profile and gone through and liked every photo I have ever posted. You can see multiple screenshots of this in the text version of this topic at
TellyTransTuesdays.com.
It happens often, and they will end up liking dozens and dozens of photos in an hour, sometimes even in the same minute. They don't even pay attention to what they're liking because they're in a blind lust frenzy. The same guy liked dozens of my photos within the same minute and left replies, including on a photo of me with Susan, DNA emoji, BFF sisters for life, 100 emoji.
What?
Ring emoji, will make a good bride emoji, wife someday, church emoji. So hot, fire emoji with black on, black heart emoji. On one of my transition timeline photos, heart emoji, the new you. Clap emoji, such an amazing woman. High heel emoji. Heart eye emoji, you be like a goddess, heart emoji. And also a honeypot emoji, sweet smile, hearts around smiling face emoji. Wow, blush emoji, you have such cute eyes, eyes looking emoji. And to note that on that picture with my lovely wife, Susan, in which the caption said we were married and it was our anniversary, he wrote BFF sisters for life. And then on another photo commented that I would make a good wife someday. It is creepy as hell, and also not remotely paying attention to what he's liking as the flop sweat forms on his brow and he imagines I will see his amazing replies and, what, ask to meet up and have sex with him and eventually marry him? It is so baffling. And it's definitely what they all seem to want. Some of them don't even try to hide it, and in fact just advertise it right in their usernames, as if it's somehow going to be a turn-on to any living human being, and not as repulsive as 13-week-old cabbage. There is an account called Sperminator, aka Reckless, who liked a ton of my photos all within the same minute. Have you gotten those dudes, Boone, who find you and then go on a frenzy being sure to like every single photo of you that you've ever posted?
I sure have. And sometimes they're people I meet in person. That's the
what?
Craziest part. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've met people at like comedy shows and stuff. And they're like, let's exchange Instagrams. And they seem like, you know, chill people. And
yeah.
then I'm on my way home and I'm like, oh, they're liking every photo I've ever posted. Interesting.
Oh no.
Yeah. It's usually random people that I'll never meet.
Hopefully.
But occasionally it's people like that. Yeah. I've met a few people in my life who I still am kind of sussing out, like, art, what's the deal here?
Yeah.
And it's also just as a woman of any kind, you know, this is the kind of behavior you deal with on some level. So I'm sometimes trying to figure out, is it a chaser thing or is it just a woman thing?
Garden variety sexual harassment.
Yes, because there's a lot of it. And something I think about too is like, I wonder if it's changed since I've had surgery, because I have had bottom surgery. And most people probably don't know that. So I'm sure a ton of people reach out to me and they do have the genitalia kink and that's why they're reaching out. And I'm like, well, sorry to disappoint you. I can't, you're not going to find what you're looking for.
Oh,
it's just so look at me.
Yes.
Because you know what it's hot? Desperation.
Yeah. We all love that.
So good.
Yes.
Maybe. Maybe they're just interested in hoping to get a date, Telly. What's wrong with that? Ha, 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 ha. Just like the dudes on Scrabble who aren't even deterred when I act like a bot, they do not take no for an answer. I want you to know, for all of these following examples where I replied to the chaser, I usually don't. I specifically replied to these guys to show you what they are like. Because I know some other cishet white guys out there will claim it was all innocent or I'm just imagining things. Yeah, sure. So let's see about that. Why don't we? Comment from a guy. Hit me up, baby. Heart emoji. Me. Nah. Same guy. Hit me up. Me. What part of nah do you not understand? It is constant and absolutely none of them even have anything original to say. Sam999_HH says, did you need to see my two cucumber emoji? And me, my reply, absolutely never. So let's take a peek into my actual DMs. Do you think it gets any better there? As you saw from just the previews of my DMs, one of their favorite things to do is just say hi. I guarantee you they're all chasers. Nobody sends a DM to someone they don't know and says nothing but hi. The hi over and over again is a known chaser thing, believe it or not. And then there's the guys who just jump right in without even a hello, presuming I'm going to like what they said and want more of it. Again, I cannot fathom what they're hoping is going to happen by sending this to me. I have asked many of them, but none of them will ever tell me. Here's a guy who DM'd me with a reply to a selfie of mine and the message, you make me horny as F, hot, sweaty emoji, tongue emoji. And then there's the ones who think trans women are here to answer every explicit sex question on their mind, because as nothing more than a sex object to them, surely we have the answers and are happy to talk to strangers about sex. Never mind that I'm not even into dudes and have never and will never have sex with one. Guy with one follower and zero posts DMs me. Hi, can I ask you something? Me? Question mark. Guy. I am a man. I want to try anal sex, but I am scared. You think what I should do? Here's a DM from SAFC Steve on Instagram. If you had a choice, would you watch me wank or watch me finger my ass for the first time ever? And of course, everyone's least favorite chaser, the dick picker. Because Hassan6 on Instagram DMs me a link to a photo. Well, how you know that was a dick pic, Tilly? It only says it's a photo. It could be anything. Come on. Why don't you just report it then? To report it, I have to actually know it's a dick pic. So I looked. Guess what it was? So I reported it. Do you think it worked? I have news for you. You can see in the text version of this a reply from Instagram on the dick pic that I reported saying we did not remove because Hassan6's account. This is also your reminder that Meta platforms, Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, and Threads, have recently changed their terms of service to explicitly allow slurs and hate speech against trans people while not allowing it for any other group. There's a link about that in the show notes. And then there's the scammers. A screenshot of a DM I received reads, hello, I'm in seek of an online sugar baby relationship. Let me know if you anyway interested. I mean, with a weekly allowance of $2,000, no nude, kiss emoji. If you think
I mean, no nude.
No nude. Hey. One time, my birthday selfies brought out a couple chaser varieties I had not seen before. Like this dude here, who I'm not even going to try to unpack. Hi, M. Karthik from India. How are you? You are looking gorgeous. Why don't you try traditional Indian clothes? It will suit you. He then sends links to three different traditional women's garments from India.
Okay, but that was kind of cute.
How was that cute?
A little cultural exchange.
Yeah, like, I want to see you in this.
That's not...
They're not exactly revealing.
No, but also, you shouldn't just be like, I want to see you wear these clothes to a strange woman on the internet you don't know.
I know.
And then I got what may be one of the creepiest chasers yet. He sends, yes, with tons of kissing and heart eye emojis. And then audio call at 2 a.m., missed audio call. Audio call at 2 a.m., missed audio call. Video call at 2 a.m., missed video call. I guess he thought I would talk to him because he was turned on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I still think it's somehow all innocent, Tilly, because I am dim and have bad opinions. Maybe they're nice guys who just don't know they're being creepy. Why don't you explain and try to educate them? Like, well, that is not my job. But also, Edial Vangeli DMs me. Hi, kiss and fire emoji. How are you doing? Me, do you always send kisses to strangers on Insta? Him. If you don't want those, you can give them back. Smile emoji. Me. Have you considered not being a creep to women you don't know? Guy. Why so wild? Okay, leaving you alone. Looks like I'm disturbing you. Shrug emoji. Me. Yeah, that's what sending women you don't know your opinions on their appearance is. Disturbing. I'm glad you're learning something today. Guy. F you. Me. Classy. Guy. I just make a compliment, you effer. Go F off. Kill yourself. And the denial.
Well, now you're getting the explicit tag.
Right? It runs deep. Kevin _1_1 on Insta DM'd me. Hello, smile emoji. I have a question, so if you can answer, great. Me, question mark. Him, you look really good. And you trans or? Me, why are you asking? Guy, just ask, smile emoji. Me, are you? Guy, no, but I like trans, so. Me. Oh, so you're a chaser. No way. Couldn't have guessed. Guy, what you mean? Laugh emoji. I'm not chaser. Lol. Me. You are a classic chaser. Jesus, at least own it. Lol. Guy, I'm not. Ha ha. Anyway, you look real hot. Smile emoji. Me. I am not a chaser, says the chaser man, saying all the things chasers say. Guy, okay, lol. I just write you. Video call. Missed video call. Sorry, I didn't want. I don't even know what the hell this one's about. Sigma Male 2022 on Insta DM'd me. Hi, my lady. Lip emoji. I want to see your swallow my goldfish Henry. Two devil emoji. Put him inside your belly. Open hands emoji. And I give you all you want. Devil emoji.
Wow. Never heard that
What?
one before.
What is that? Have you gotten any like extra creepy, bizarre ones?
Oh, probably. I think I blocked them out, but I'm sure I have. I mean, there are a lot that are hard to decode.
Right? Like, what is that about for you with the fish? Why?
I don't know.
What?
I don't know if I've gotten a fish emoji, but I've gotten some weird ones for sure. I don't know. It boggles my mind.
It does. Like, I've tried, like, as a writer, right? My job is to understand humans, and I cannot understand what would possess a dude to send that to someone on the internet they don't know. I just.
I don't it's hard for me to understand what would possess a man to do anything that they do, quite frankly. I mean, I like my cisgender female friends will send me screenshots of their Hinge conversations with men, and I'm like, why are you doing this to yourself? I guess, like, what? Get out of there. This you're fishing in a polluted swamp.
That's like the perfect way of putting it, yes. You're
Yeah.
not going to find anything good in there.
No.
It's all radioactive.
No. Although, I mean, I guess my brother found his wife on Hinge, so good for them. But it's very
The
rare.
exception that proves the rule.
Exactly.
Well, a good deal of these dudes on Instagram, anyway, likely would have a harder time finding me if I didn't tag many of my photos with things like trans or trans woman, trans girl, etc. But I don't want to stop using those tags just to stop harassment that is not my fault. Because here's the thing, those kind of tags get used by eggs, trans people who don't know they're trans yet, and people trying to figure out their own gender all the time. I was one of them. I never went through someone's entire profile and looked and liked all their photos because I was cognizant of how effing creepy that is. But I looked at photos with those tags a lot. Seeing other trans women that had transitioned and were happy and full of joy in life was so important to me. It played some small part in helping me think that I could one day attain that too. And I'm not going to take that away from other eggs who need it as much as I did. And this kind of ties right into why most of the above usernames and handles were not mentioned. I left them in for the blatant harassers, because if you're going to be gross, people should know. But for the others, remember how I said the one and only way a portion of our society makes existing as a trans woman quote unquote acceptable is as nothing more than an object of fetishization? That means that a lot of eggs who've been pretending to be cis find sexualizing and fetishizing trans women is the only way that they can see us, learn more about us, and come to terms with their own gender. A non-zero number of those chasers are eggs who don't even know it yet. If you make it so people can only see trans women when we're fetishized in porn, then fetishizing us in porn is the only way trans women eggs can see people like themselves. If that is the only option, where else are they going to go? Again, check out my Trans Rep in Media 2022, 2023, 2024, and 2025 reports from the past 4 years to see how nearly non-existent good representation for us in media really is. Those were episodes 3, 52 to 54, 97 to 99, and 144 to 147, respectively. And the insidiousness is that that then teaches those trans women eggs that being a fetishized sex object is the only way they can exist in society, and it reinforces the horror. It works an implicit bias into them and also into cis people who only ever know us through that fetishized exposure, that that is all we can be and all we are. See episode 57 of this show on implicit queer phobia if you don't understand how society does this to all of us, about people from every marginalized community. And speaking of trans rep in media boon, I wanted to get your thoughts on this as an actor. Have you found a lot of roles specifically for trans people? How often do they pop up? And when they do, are they usually problematic?
Well, I'll start with the positive being that
Yeah.
the one trans role I got to portray was a character named Astrid on the show The Dragon Prince, which is a
Yeah.
Netflix animated series. Highly recommend it. Emmy winning, great show. Not that I'm biased, but Astrid is a transgender character and it's not explicit. A lot of people actually didn't know that she was trans when she was introduced. And I went straight ahead and asked the creator of the show, Aaron Ehaus, who I'm very close with. I said, can I post on Twitter and just say that, like, just so you guys know, this character is trans? And I did. And it's by far my most liked tweet. I think it's got, I don't know, it went viral because so many people didn't know.
Yeah.
And that's a whole other topic, I
It
think,
sure
is
is. Yeah.
working it into the story without, if you don't want to make the character all about being trans, because that's not her role. It's not, I'm the trans
Right.
character. She's
But
already transitioned. It's not like that's what the story is
if
about.
you don't mention it, so many people will never know.
Yeah, right. And then they don't. But luckily, either people knew they got the implicit messaging or they got the direct explicit message from me. And I had some really, really lovely messages. The ones that touched me the most were by, I got some moms reaching out to me who had trans kids and said some really, really sweet things about
Oh,
how
that's the
they
best.
watched the show with their trans daughter, and they're like, we love Astrid, and so that
Yeah.
was really cool. But I will say, as like a regular working actor, this is in animation. The great thing is, I can just go up for whatever. The 99% of what I go out for is cis female characters. If there is a trans character, I'll always get the audition because there's so few of us that they go, there's like four people they send that out to or whatever. But on camera, I have gone out for so many sex workers. First of all, I don't go out, I almost only get trans auditions on camera. It's like, and it's pretty discouraging to the point where there was a long time where I'm just like, I don't even know if I want to do on camera. Like, this is just,
Yeah.
like, I mean, like, it's so, there's so, I get like four opportunities a year and it's like the same, it's the same character. Every now and then you get something really good, but it's like rare. And I find it's either just the sex worker character and that's all they are. There's really not much else to their character other than they're a trans sex worker. And again, nothing wrong with being a trans sex worker, but you just covered all of that. So
Yeah, yeah.
I don't need to explain the whole history. Or it's just a really tragic trans character
Sure,
who's being
who?
othered or who like hates
Yep.
themselves or is abandoned or running away from their parent or whatever. There's not a lot of happy trans characters being written
Yeah.
still. So it's a little sad, but that's, why we need more trans writers.
That's exactly right. We need more trans people behind the scenes to hire trans actors and get us in those stories in ways that are not damaging to us in
Yes.
society. Yeah.
Yes. And if you're an executive producer listening to this, please buy my screenplay.
Do it.
Yeah, it's good, I promise. It's really good.
Well, do I wish these eggs would be less creepy about my photos? Hell yes. But I'm not going to block them because this world makes it so incredibly difficult for us to even realize we're trans, much less transition and self-actualize. If my photos could help them, like other trans women photos helped me, I want that. It is an awful line to walk because I definitely don't want harassment and could certainly do without all the worthless trash messages from cis men who are as lovely as gas station hot dogs. But I know there are eggs out there doing the best they can with what they have and trying to learn about themselves. And I won't make it harder on them. It's way too hard on all of us as it is. Please come back next week as we look at the way people react when you call out chasers and the origin of the entire movement to fetishize and sexualize trans women in our society. It's gonna sound wild, but I've got receipts. Thanks for being here, Boone.
Thank you so much for having me. This was intense and very real, but also very fun.
Folks, please, you have to realize it's fine to be attracted to us. You can and should be. We are hot, and you can't help who you're attracted to, but you cannot forget that we are human beings first and foremost. If you cannot respect us, please fling yourself into the sea forthwith. Tilly Bridges, end transmission. Tilly's Trans Tuesdays is hosted by Tilly Bridges and Susan Bridges, with audio editing and sound mixing by Jillian Morgan. The written essay version of this week's topic and all past topics is available at tillystranstuesdays.com. Special thanks to Daisy and Jane for the use of Sorry Not Sorry as our show's theme music. please stop by and show your support at daisyandjane.bandcamp.com and soundcloud.com/daisyandjane. You can find me at Tilly Bridges on Blue Sky, on Mastodon at tillybridges and mastodon.social, and on Insta at heckyeahtillybridges. And you can find Susan on those at Susan L. Bridges. You can find Jillian at Audio Jillian on Blue Sky. You can join the Tillyverse Discord server by following the link at the very bottom of tillystranstuesdays.com. We hold regular watch parties for the Matrix films and other trans movies, where I do a live Q&A, and it's blossomed into a wonderfully supportive, compassionate, kind community of friends. We'd love to have you join us. If you'd like to keep up with all the writing that Susan and I do, you can sign up for our newsletter at birdguestbroadcast.com. Signed copies of our comics and my book, Begin Transmission, The Trans Allegories of the Matrix, are available on my coffee shop at ko-fi.com/tillybridges. If you're listening on YouTube, it's so cliche, but please like and subscribe and take a few seconds to leave a comment. Those feed the algorithm and helps the show be found by so many more people. If you're listening on other platforms, ratings and reviews help just as much, and I'd certainly appreciate them. Thank you for your support. For more information, visit pendantaudio.com. Thanks for listening.